Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 7 of Zipline, the official Zipper Interactive podcast. I am Chris Roper.
I'm Jeremy Denham.
You looked a little confused because we didn't do Star Wars.
We don't have a Star Wars reference. Yeah. But yeah, I'm Jeremy Denham, and originally this week we're going to have Bane Jones. He was a designer on MAG, but he's had a bit of a scheduling conflict, which we'll actually talk about very shortly. But he'll be on next week now. In his place, we have our UI manager, Steve Harris.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Glad to be
here. I know it was last minute. We actually barged into his office about a day before our podcast is recorded, and we asked him, and he was kind enough to come on. So,
happy to be here, yes.
You know what time it is.
Time for the Z-Cap. The first piece of news that we want to mention here is for all you folks playing MAG, and if you're not, you should. The 1.06 patch, 1.06, is coming out on June 8th. And today's what, June 4th, June 5th, whatever day it is. Anyway,
Do you look at calendars?
I don't whatsoever. June 8th, you'll be able to play 1.06. There's all kinds of stuff in this patch. There's updated metal and ribbon counts. There's new vehicle physics. The med kit functionality has changed a little bit. Lots and lots of stuff on there. You can see the changes in what's in store for you on blog.mag.com.
And we'll have the full list of changes on the final post that appears next week when the patch goes up. Won't be too much more than what we've already said, but there's a few extra things in there. Also, there was that, speaking of MAG, there's another thing that worth talking about, and that's where Ben is at, actually. This week, we had a MAG event in San Francisco where we talked about what our next DLC plans are, some of our long-term goals for the game, which I know a lot of people have questions about. And the media outlets that attended will actually be able to publish their information next week. And I think it ties in nicely with Ben coming on the show to talk about what he's presenting there. He's actually a presenter at the event, and that's why he's not here, because he had more important things
to
do.
So all those things we keep saying, the big upcoming DLC stuff, you're going to find out about that very, very soon now.
Yes, very soon equals next week.
Yeah.
So finally we can tell you about that. What I think is important is that we're going to talk about our DLC, but we're also going to talk about what's after that, too.
In the year 2000.
Yes. 10 years ago.
Yeah. But coming up. It's not just the stuff that's going to be hitting very soon. Stuff further on down the line. And we're very excited to be sharing these details. So that's all very good.
What you're going to see soon, what you're going to see after that.
This is like MAG's own little E3.
Yeah. M3.
Basically, yeah. M3, why not?
Not to be confused with Mission Impossible.
Or the BMW series.
That's right.
Anyway.
It's Q&A time. What I want to know from Steve, since he's here, thank you for joining us once again, is what exactly does a UI manager do? What does UI stand for? I think a lot of hardcore gamers know what that means, but for people who are more casual in the gaming industry or just in any industry that relates to having a UI, what does that mean? What do you guys do?
Well, yeah, user interface stands for, UI. There you go.
There
I said
is.
It backwards. UI stands for user interface.
You're going to talk like you
so
do.
I'm going to talk backwards first, yeah. UI stands for user interface. People also often talk about HUD, heads-up display. We kind of separate the two. We think of UI as everything that's outside of the game, and HUD, that's pretty much everything inside the game, score bars and health percentages and stuff like that. As the UI manager, I wear a lot of hats, actually. We do, of course, a lot of the planning and scheduling happens on my side, but I also do a lot of the implementation and production work. The process is supposed to be that the designers come up with a feature set and some specifications on how stuff works. They'll typically meet with me and we'll talk about how that feature is supposed to flow and how we're going to put it into the game. And then we have an artist on our team and he'll start cranking out the artwork, and we'll go through a conceptual phase with that people will look at. Various people here at Zipper will, we'll get some buy-off and approval on the direction. We'll also work with software engineers, and they'll do their code to support the various aspects of the feature that we have. And then my team will then put the whole thing together. We'll take all the art, we'll take the design features, we'll take the code, we'll pull it all together into one place and make it all work.
I've always thought interesting about the UI is a lot of people take that sort of stuff for granted, but it is the way that you interact with the product.
Yeah.
People are spending 3 or 4 years writing physics systems and how health works and all this kind of stuff, but without UI of being able to pick how you save your game and show up your health and all that other kind of stuff, none of it would be You know, it's how the player is interfacing with stuff like that.
Yeah, it's usually your first impression to the game, too, is seeing a UI screen. It can really say a lot about how this game's going to look or how it's going to act. And there's definitely a lot of work that goes into it. I think it's kind of not thought of a lot, but there's a lot of pieces to make all the UI come together.
Is the UI team its own separate group, or is it part of a larger group like art or design?
We're in a way under design. We've kind of flip flopped our design. Our team's probably the most oddball of all the teams because we basically do art because we create the interface screens, the look and feel. We do design because we have to account for usability and how the system performs, and we work a lot with the designers on the specifications, and we write thousands of lines of script. So in a way, we're doing code. So we're probably the only discipline in the company that sort of wears all three hats. We're not really under art, design, or engineering, software engineering, but we work very closely with all those teams. So
what for you specifically, what other projects have you worked on in the past?
Well, I shipped MAG, so I was on MAG for, 4.5 years, and still to this day, was my first game title that I worked on. Prior to that, I had been doing user interface work for, 15, 16 years. Kind of got into it when multimedia was the buzzword, and we were doing CD-ROMs and, marketing spiel and stuff. And that turned into doing a lot of prototype work for different companies, a lot of marketing and advertising agencies and things like that. Just that kind of work really just kind of grew into game interface because there's so much similarities between building prototypes for products and making a game UI functional. I mean, it's you're having to create art. There's design. There's a lot of scripting. So. That's kind of where it came from.
Were you always a gamer? Was it your ultimate goal to gravitate towards doing games UI, or did you just kind of fall into it?
Game UI actually was always really, really interesting to me because I was the appeal of working on something that lasted, that you didn't finish in a week or a month or a couple of months. The appeal to me was working on a project that you'd be really intimate with for, a couple of years or more. As it turned out with MAG, we worked on that for a long time. Prior to that, gaming has been a little bit of a passion, but the real drive was I loved the work that I did. I love working on UI and scripting and programming and being able to work on a project for a long period of time and really craft it and get it where we wanted it to be always the big appeal.
You're working on SOCOM4 now, yeah. But you already did the UI for MAG. How does working on the two games differ from each other?
Yeah, MAG was really a huge undertaking. It was a new type of game. Had never been done. It was a new engine. When we started on MAG, we really... a lot of questions had not really been answered on what's the final game going to be. A lot of the technology changed as we went. How we were
There's
even
a new platform for the studio.
Yeah, new platform for the studio, exactly. We didn't even know the technology we were going to use to actually build the user interface in. And we switched like halfway through the product. In addition, MAG is just chock block with persistent features. That we'll be seeing a lot of in S4, but they were sort of new to it was a lot of new very big features. In addition, we had three factions to deal with in MAG, and developing the look and feel for those three factions was a pretty time consuming process. Developing Raven and Sever and Valor, coming up with those identities took some time and a lot of iteration and. It also really tripled our work because if you've played the game, the UIs are different depending on the faction you play in and the HUD as well. And so every time we had to change one thing, we kind of had to change it in three places. So the production there was pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, really, in the case of MAG, when there aren't, an individual character that you're kind of following through with cinematics and stuff like that, it's a lot of it is the menu work that kind of tells you what your faction is all about and kind of the attitude. But a lot of it is just how text and icons and stuff is presented.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and in SOCOM 4, we're really being more cinematic, more story-driven type of title. We're really trying to get a lot of elegance into the product, really make it all look really beautiful, really nice fonts, really just just super cool looking all the way through, really, really polished. So we don't have the three factions to deal with, which helps a lot, so we can kind of really focus on just one look throughout the whole game. And that's really been a lot of iteration that we've been doing right now, is try to get that look really nailed. So.
Getting to some reader questions here, or listener questions, as the case may be. XX Violent wants to know, will SOCOM have a quick select option that allows you to swap directly from one weapon to another type, and how does the equipment selection work?
Well, that system is definitely something we've iterated on a number of times. I don't think we've fully decided exactly how we're going to have that system done yet. We definitely have a version that we'll be showing at E3. That system right now is a quick swap between your primary weapon and your backup weapon. It's currently mapped to the D-pad. It's working pretty good for us. We're pretty happy with that setup, but we definitely have more work probably to do. We'll see how it plays out in E3, and we may have further tweaking to do on that option. Equipment management is mostly handled through your pregame armory, in a way kind of similar to mags, where you can choose between your gear items and your primary backup weapons. You make your selections prior to going into the battle, and those options sort of reveal themselves as you progress to the level and more options become available. But that's how you set up your armory before you go, or your loadout before you go into the game.
Contraband Joe wants to know if mag clan lists will gain the ability to be sorted by who is currently online as a priority or in alphabetical order. Right now, it seems that the clan list is sorted by character creation date.
It's broken. Totally broken, and will be fixed in 106. It was a bug. It was really just an oversight, and something we jumped on fixing as soon as we noticed it. Surprisingly, it took us a little while to even notice that the bug was there, but we stomped on it, and it is fixed in 106. It basically is sorted now between online and offline, at least, so you don't have to scroll up and down the list.
So there you see that one of the things you can already expect that wasn't on our original list of the patches or the fixes you'll see in next week's patch. There you go.
Yes, sorting the clan list.
Isn't it funny how we sort of worked that one in there?
Yeah. Dragon Boxer writes in, which is a great name, by the way. Wants to know if we will be at Sony's E3 press conference.
You going?
I'm not going. Wish I was.
No?
I'm too buried in E3 work and all the other work we got to do to get a SOCOM 4 out the door.
Chris and I are going. We're going to be at the press conference. So we're sort of there and we're sort of not.
Yeah, in terms of SOCOM 4, the game itself, maybe in a montage, I guess. You know, they always show a bunch of games being played. But there's no specific SOCOM 4 presentation during the press conference. The reason for that is that, well, first off, there's a lot of stuff to show this year. You'll see there's a bunch of cool things coming up.
You will find out.
A lot of which I don't know about, so I'm very excited to watch this. But also, being that we're having a full, you know, I don't know how long it is, 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, we have a good bit of gameplay right there on the show floor. Everybody gets to go play it. So, you know, why show it at the press conference when you're going to go play it anyway? So you can do it for yourself.
Yeah, and another important aspect to remember is we'd much rather have people experience the demo than have it revealed for them on stage and then have them play what they just saw.
Right. A lot of things we've been saying on the forums for a while is people asking about, you know, SOCOM 4. Hey, what's going on with the cover system? A lot of it is try it for yourself, and so that's exactly what we're aiming to let you do at E3 is try all these things for yourself.
On a related note, building on last week, you know, we were telling you that the game was looking better with each build day after day. It continues. And we actually have some really, really nice effects going in there now that weren't in there before. So I think the game visually is really coming together.
Mm-hmm. And some cool-looking UI stuff coming in, too.
Yeah, nice plug. No, we did. So I actually, if you guys remember all the way back to the first podcast, the photo that we were sitting there and with Travis in the background, we had the placeholder SOCOM start screen. But the one that Steve and his team has been working on, the new one, much cooler. Really like it. You'll see it at the show, but it's a much cooler screen. Also, another question from Pivman. What are the chances of getting an upgrade to Mag's map screen? Instead of seeing blue triangles and a ton of blue dots to represent our allies, maybe we could see some different colors representing different platoons or squads or something along those lines. Do we have anything like that in the works?
It's something we've definitely talked about a lot. We'd love to give more abilities to platoon leader. Currently, their only abilities they really have are the command abilities. And being able to really identify who are your squads that are under your command, and who are the soldiers that you're trying to direct through, you know, broadcast voice chat, is really a tool that we think would be nice for platoon leaders to have. It's definitely one of the enhancements we want to make. I don't know specifically how we'll address it yet, if it will be through colors or some other types of shapes or something, but it's definitely something we've talked about and something we're hoping to do.
I like the old football thing with X's and O's.
Yeah.
Maybe try that in, you know, line of scrimmage. Yeah.
Go long.
Yeah, your Sins writes in and wants to know if we are going to see fewer loading screens in SOCOM 4 than what we had in previous SOCOMs.
I sure hope so. We should, yes. Right now, off the top of my head, I think we're around two. There's always inherently, you know, some load that has to happen when the title boots. There's always a bit of time when you're actually syncing with the server, when you're going to connect and go online. But the actual loading into the level should really only happen in one big chunk right now. So I'm anticipating definitely fewer screens. It should be a pretty smooth transition.
On a related note, if you do see the screens, what's going to be on them? Is it just art, or are we going to include some information in there?
That's TBD, really. We've got, for E3, you'll see it's mostly an art kind of story setup, because there's not a lot of opportunity at E3, obviously, to set up what the whole story of SOCOM 4 is. So we're taking an opportunity there to kind of set things up a little bit. But we're actually kind of waiting, you know, how much time you're on a load screen will kind of dictate how much information we can put on there. You know, now that we're on PS3 and we're running off Blu-ray, things, you know, fire off a lot faster. You're not sitting around as long. And so if we only have a few seconds on a load screen, we can't really fill that thing up with tons of tutorial text or, you know, mission briefings and things like that.
Chenault2424 wants to know if you'd consider moving the mag minimap to the left side of the screen.
Yes, I've heard this before. And it's definitely a valid suggestion, and something we have talked about. We did feel that the amount of times you're interrupted by XMB messages is kind of few and far between, but it probably depends on how many friends and stuff you have. So for me, maybe I don't have a lot of friends.
I don't like you, Steve.
Yeah. I have a few, but not a lot. But when I play, and I play Mag actually quite a bit at home, I don't get interrupted that often, and it doesn't usually bother me. But I've definitely heard it from some people who would love to see it on the other side of the screen. We did feel that the current objective message that you have being left justified works pretty well anchored to the top left of the screen. So to move the map over, we would have to do, you know, some moving around. And we don't have many pixels to work with, especially when we support standard definition TV resolutions. And things get a little tight at that point. So
is the possibility still up in the air?
Yes. I'd say it's still up in the air. Maybe we can make it a user option or something would probably be ideal. But people are pretty used to where it is right now. So just changing it and not giving you the option to put it back might be a little jarring. But I would say the possibility is still there.
Okay.
X-Factor 0693 asks, if SOCOM 4 will have an on-screen radar, and if so, how will it work? If it doesn't, will we just have arrows that tell us where the shots are coming from? And are both of these happening?
We have a couple of different systems in S4. I think how we're going to do radar indication is still, you know, being finalized. We do have a version in for E3. One of the systems we have is a threat indication system, which is very much like mags. It's sort of a radial indication of the direction of the shot. And as you turn that direction, something you see, you know, very similar in most games. We do also have a mini map that is available in command mode. It's similar to what you would see in Mag. But we haven't really finalized all of our plans for the mini map yet and what the options for the map will be. But what you will see at E3 is if you go into command mode, you will get a mini map in one of the corners of the screen.
The Reese Boys wants to know if there's been any thought to updating Mag's CNI system by giving leaders the ability to set waypoints on an individual level. And also, what are the chances of changing the letter bars in domination to the objectives of the current phase instead of letters? Right now, you have locked icons on the screen, whereas as an alternative, maybe we could just list the burn-off and cooling towers specifically as they become available.
I'll answer the score bar part first. man, you would not believe how many score bars we did for Domination. Honestly, I personally must have built 20 different versions of the score bar as we went. And we definitely explored showing the various states. It got really challenging to try to show the difference, for instance, between a burn-off tower and a cool-down tower. I think I'm getting that right. Burn-down, cool-down. And trying to reflect those states that, okay, you've taken out the first pair, but now you're onto the second pair, and how do you clearly translate that? We did actually have a score bar version that was trying to illustrate that, like maybe you had four towers to go, but now you've gotten a pair, so now there's only one pair left. And it was just confusing. And we went through just so many iterations, and what we're at now is definitely what everybody kind of gave the thumbs up as, like, yeah, I finally really get this. It makes sense. I'd be hesitant to go in and change it at this point. I do think the status, I can understand where some of the confusion can kind of come from. Are you working on the first set of towers or the second? But I'd be a little bit loath to change the way that system works right now. So... but the let's see, the other question was, oh, the platoon leader abilities, is that, or the, or the, yeah, individual waypoints,
setting, yeah, individual waypoints.
Yeah, we've talked about leader abilities, platoon leader and OIC potentially being able to set waypoints. I don't know about on an individual basis. It gets to be a little noisy if you had that potentially that much information going. Mag is already a very HUD heavy game, and to put more waypoints that potentially the rest of your squad could see could definitely muddy the waters a bit between what's your platoon leader trying to tell you to do and what's your squad leader trying to tell you to do, what's the OIC trying to tell you to do, and now if you've got seven squad members also trying to lay down waypoints. We were really looking to potentially enhance more of the leadership abilities. We did not have plans at this point to enhance the individual abilities for calling out waypoints.
T-Bone Bowman wants to know, he says, I know that SOCOM 4 uses an over-the-shoulder camera view, but he's wondering, if you want to zoom in with a rifle, be it a sniper rifle or an assault rifle or whatever it would be, can you zoom in and aim through the scope to take out targets, or can you only just kind of move in closer via the over-the-shoulder view?
We actually have both views, is what's currently supported and what you should see in E3. We do have a scope view. And we do have an over-the-shoulder view, so I think it currently defaults to over-the-shoulder, and then you can toggle it into a scope mode, and then the next time you come into that aim mode, it would remember what your previous setting was. So if you had toggled to scope mode, went out back to your normal third-person view, and then went back into aim mode again, you would actually go into scope mode. Mm-hmm. Those systems are still being worked on. I'm not certain what the final plan is, and we're working with the design team on that. But that is currently the behavior it has right now.
AimFix wants to know, with the metal completion meter being added to Mag with the next patch, does it also mean that some of the medals or ribbons will be harder or easier to get?
Ooh, I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, actually.
Ooh, me.
Okay, so Jeremy knows the answer to that question.
So actually, this particular fix is one that I worked with personally with CJ Heine and Jason Olander. To make sure that we get them in there. And none of them are going to have harder requirements. That is for sure. That's one that that we definitely wanted to lower the requirements on. Because, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we faced with the game was that a lot of the medals were very difficult to get. So we wanted to make them a little bit more realistic, more attainable. We definitely didn't try to dumb any of them down. We don't want you to log in and kill one guy and get seven medals. But they're definitely more manageable now, more attainable. And I think people are going to like them. There might still be a few in there that are considered hard.
Just a few.
But that's much better right now than the current setup, which is just about all of them are hard.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. The progress bars will really help to sort of draw out, or you know, really make it clear on how far you got to go to get to that next medal. I certainly want to know that myself. It's hard to try to transfer it from the current stats list and figure out exactly where you're at.
It is time for our first audio question of the week. If you remember last week, we kind of introduced this thing. We said as a way to kind of get everybody more involved in the show is you can submit a question via, if you write to Zipline at zipperint.com, submit an MP3, it's up to 10 seconds long, and submit your question, we'll play it as part of the show, kind of like a reader call-in, but you're not actually on the phone. Our first question comes from one Mr. David Dole.
Hey guys, it's David Dole from TheRealSOCOM.com, David Too Crazy on the forums. Since there's no health bar in SOCOM 4, what exactly are you doing to communicate to the player when he's hurt and how badly?
That's an excellent question.
That is an excellent question. We're going to put a big health bar on the screen. No, I'm just kidding. We're actually going along with our very cinematic feel that we have with SOCOM 4. Basically, we do a lot of desaturation of the screen, colorizing of the screen, and of course we add in the blood effect around the edges of the screen. You definitely get a sense that you're about to die or you got to jump into cover and regen your health. It's pretty apparent. The visual effects are still being tweaked and worked on for the final game. We're exploring, you know, blur and other types of effects that could potentially happen, but we have to find that sweet spot between, you know, disorienting you enough to make it feel like you're almost dead, but still giving you a chance to actually make it to cover. But yeah, it won't be a health bar. It will be more of a screen effects.
So again, if you want to submit your questions, write to zipline at zipperint.com. This could be for red questions or whatever. But if you want to submit the audio one, attach an MP3 up to 10 seconds long, and please restate your question in the email so that it's way easier to find.
And since David gave us such a nice first audio question, don't forget to check out his website at therealsocom.com and listen to his podcast. I think he's appeared on the SoCast also.
He has, yeah. On the last one, episode 3.
So there you go.
It is now time for the Zip Tip.
So the Zip Tip is a weekly segment that we have where we ask each of our guests for some kind of tip. It could be any tip. It could be a video game tip, a life tip, just a tip. What's the tip?
My tip comes right out of Mag, actually. So it's a game tip. My tip is that 100 bullets are better than 30. So I recently switched from the assault rifle track down to the heavy track and on an LMG now. And for me, I'm having a lot of success with that. So I really needed to be able to just hold the button in a lot longer to send out a lot more bullets to finally get the kills, because I'm just not as accurate as some of the guys that are playing. So
with our adjustment in 106 next week, you still going to be an LMG user?
Yeah, I probably will. As long as I have some more bullets to shoot, I think I'll be doing all right.
Very awesome. That is bringing us to the end of the show, but remember that you can follow us on Twitter simply at Zipper. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for Zipper Interactive.
And don't forget to subscribe to our show Zipline on iTunes. And please, if you do, rate us. Give us whatever you think is deserving, and definitely review us if you can. And don't forget to visit blog.socom.com and blog.mag.com for all the latest Mag and SOCOM news.
It's a reminder that we're now in the beginning of June, and E3 is a mere 2 weeks away.
Wow.
Well, I guess about a week and a half now. Yeah. Like we were saying, we're going to have the newest look at SOCOM 4 there. We're going to be doing, so check all your favorite, websites and stuff like that for coverage on the game. I know that on the SOCOM blog, we're going to kind of try to round all that up to point you in the best direction. Hopefully have some more cool stuff from E3. So go to blog.socom.com every day anyway, but especially during E3 to see what we have coming up for you.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of stuff. We're going to have photographs and tidbits of information and shots from our booth. Anything that we can give you from E3 for those of you who can't attend, we're going to do it. Next week, our guest is going to be the guy originally scheduled for this week, designer Ben Jones. He'll be here to discuss the Mag event that he's attending right now that will be revealed next week, and what you can expect in upcoming DLC and plenty more.
Yep. So please tune in next week. Steve, thank you for coming by.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good times.
And we will see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.